Wow, thank you guys so much for everyone who had a part in putting that together. I'll talk to our teams to see if we can make sure that's available online somewhere and let you guys know when we have that information. I know it meant a lot to many of you mothers to see these kinds of things. So happy Mother's Day. That was wonderful. Well, today we are breaking from our Second Corinthians message, and just for a focus today on mothers. And the title of the message, oddly enough perhaps, is called Motherly Images of God That Are Biblical. Okay. In the Bible, one notices that God is always referred to in masculine terms, masculine ways. We refer to him as Father. His son, Jesus Christ. And it's he and him constantly throughout the scriptures. And we are wise to avoid trying to feminize God for the sake of contemporary society. When Jesus showed us how to pray, for example, his words were, "Our Father who art in heaven." And we simply cannot just go and change that to "Our Mother who art in heaven" if we feel like it. We don't have that liberty. And I think that's a dangerous thing to set. Yet we also realize God is God. And he's not just male or female in the same way that we are. In Genesis, we read that, of course, God created all things, and he created man in his image. And then it says, male and female, he created in his image. So yes, we look at the men of our church and of our world, of course, and we see that they're created in the image of our Heavenly Father God. But we also take a look at our ladies, our mothers, and the Bible says they also are made in the image of our Father God. So while he is always referred to in the masculine sense, there are times and places in the scripture where it describes him. It uses metaphorical language to describe God and who he is, his character, how he works, how he deals with his people in the feminine. And that's what I want to share with you today. And that's why the focus is on images of God, motherly images that are biblical. I don't feel the freedom to describe God in any way that the Bible hasn't given to us. So that's what we want to take a look at today. The reason for this message, though, is a couple of reasons. First and foremost, that we may see a fresh aspect of God from a biblical viewpoint, of course, once again. And in so doing, we gain a deeper awe, respect, appreciation for who God is and what his character is like, and that we are drawn to him, and that every one of us is drawn to him in a deeper, closer way. But secondly, of course, being Mother's Day, that while we realize we can never measure up to God's example of perfection in whatever he does, we see that the attitudes that are displayed here of biblical motherhood are attitudes that we as his people should strive for as well. And so I hope that this message is a challenge to all of us, a fresh look at God and his wonderful character, but also a challenge to mothers as they model themselves after the one who died for them and loved them. And then for the rest of us, that we better appreciate not only God, but the mothers that he has given to us in our lives. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for who you are. You are God. There is none like you. And while you are not bound to your creation in the same way that we are, you transcend your creation. We understand, Lord, that you have revealed yourself in certain ways. And above all, you are our Father, and your Son, Jesus, is our Savior, our Messiah. And so we honor and respect this. Now open our hearts and eyes as we also take a look at some of these passages that describe you and how you, your dealings with your people are in very special ways. And may we, Lord, honor you in this. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first point, the first point that we're taking a look at, by the way, I believe we do have our message outlines that are available online. It was in the chat section of our Zoom meeting earlier, and it's on our website. So if you'd like to get those outlines like we hand out in church normally, they're available. As well as, by the way, our regular weekly bulletins, they're available online as well. But the first image that we're going to look at is God as mother bird and mother bear. God as mother bird and mother bear. Thank you. I just see our notes are once again placed on our chat box here. One of the common images of God as a mother bird is the image of one that is sheltering her children under her wings and looking after them. We first see this image, I believe, that we first see this image in the scriptures in Boaz with his response to Ruth. In the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 12, when he says, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Again, this is that picture of a loving mother bird that seeks to protect her own, her children. There's a number of places in the Psalms that refer to such. Psalm 17, verse 8, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings." And then in 57, verse 1, Psalm 57, says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by." So we see David the writer, he shelters under the wings of God as a young chick would shelter under the wings of his mother. Chapter 91, verse 4, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge." So we see this imagery of the mother bird, God being presented as the mother bird, looking after her own. And Jesus picks up on these images in the Old Testament as he comes down, is he making his way into Israel. In Matthew 23, verse 37, as he looks out on Jerusalem, as he's entering into the city on that the eastern gate, I believe, he cries out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And so Jesus chooses himself to use this metaphor to describe his feelings, his desire for his people Israel. And he describes himself as a mother bird, a hen, wanting to gather her chicks together and watch over them and protect them and shield them. But accompanying this image of a mother bird, that's one of the aspects that we see, of course, is that motherly desire to protect her own, her children. And of course, that is part of the image. But another part of this image of a mother bird that we see described in the scriptures is that desire to push, to become stronger, to grow stronger. Consider this passage in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, that says, "He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. But notice verse 11, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. This passage is describing how God views and protects his people, Israel in particular. And again, it's describing his feelings, his attitude towards them, and his actions towards them as not only a mother bird, but in this case, an eagle mother bird. It says he encircled and instructed. He doesn't just tell us to just sit back and don't do anything, and he'll do everything for us. There is a time that we step back and see the working of the Lord, and we allow God to do the work. But God is also desirous, as his children, to grow us, to develop us, to teach us. And often that's done in difficult ways, in trials. And it's described here in this way. Mothers, it was kind of fun when your babies were so small. Think about it. Some of you still have babies that are this small. Many of you have babies that have grown up. But when they were so small and you held a spoon to their mouth to feed them, and you had to get very creative in your ways to get them to open the mouth. You made the spoon into an airplane or a train or whatever you needed to do to get them to cooperate and make it a fun time. And you rewarded them with praise for being good eaters. And it was fun. It was exciting. And they learned. But you wouldn't want to continue that when they turn 25 or 30 years old, would you? No. You were glad when one day they were able to take a hold of that spoon and put it in the food and put it up to their mouth. And of course, they didn't do it as well and as neatly as you did. And it was often a mess and a trial, but you encouraged them to keep at it, to keep doing it, to keep trying. And they got better and better, and they did. This is the imagery we get here. The scripture in Deuteronomy says, she stirs up the nest. The mother eagle stirs up the nest. What she's doing here is making the chicks, her chicks, uncomfortable. So they don't get stuck. They want to get out. They're not wanting to stay in there. They keep getting disrupted, and mother keeps making it uncomfortable for them. The scripture says, spreading out its wings and taking them up. And this is describing the eagle as it takes the chicks and gets them out of the nest. And the nest of eagle chicks are already in very high places. And then they are dropped to learn how to fly. Mother eagles know how to teach their young ones to fly by deliberately pushing them out. And then they can catch them before they plunge to their death if necessary. But this is part of that learning process. And this is what Deuteronomy is telling us, how God sees and is viewing as a mother bird, his people, Israel. Does it sound a scary way to teach your young? Well, sure it does. Yet many of you here this morning can testify that it was often in scary times in your life that you learned how to fly, that you learned to trust in God and his ways like you never did before. It was those scary times, the times where you felt like you were free falling and you were going to plunge to your doom, to take a step out by faith, to make decisions in your life that are just difficult and scary. It was these times that you really grew and that you learned how to fly, metaphorically. And so this is one of our images. But before we claim that the Bible only reinforces this type of motherly image of warmth and protection and training and teaching, there's one more aspect of metaphorical mother that we need to take a look at, and that is that of the bear. The book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 8, describes it this way. Again, as God's attitude to his people, he says, I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. A mother bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage, and there I will devour them like a lion. Wow. This is pretty graphic description. Again, God describing his attitude to, and this is speaking, by the way, of God's people. But it's describing his righteousness, his wrath toward a people that were constantly unfaithful. And so, and we all can understand and have heard of, if not personally experienced, the wrath of a mother bear deprived of her cubs. One thing you know, we don't have bears here, thankfully. But one thing I've always heard, like in the States, if you're out walking in the bush somewhere and you come across a young baby bear cub, you need to stay away because chances are mother is going to be watching. And you don't want the mother to think you're a threat to one of her babies, because she will come and tear open the rib cage and devour you like a lion. That's just the way it is. But this is referring to the people of Israel, and this image of the mother bear shows us the righteous anger and the wrath that is also very real as God's protection, as his warmth. But beware also of the fury of a mother. So God, using the images of motherhood, in particular the mother bird and the mother bear, he shows us his protection, his desire to love, to care, to train, to teach, but also his righteousness and his wrath that is a part of who he is and his character. And we need to appreciate and worship God for who he is, as described in the Bible in this way. And thankfully, I just want to insert this at this time, because of Christ, we are his children and we are saved. Christ took the wrath of God for us. And so we don't have to face that wrath of God. So praise the Lord for that. The second thing that we see in the scripture is God as a human mother, not just the animal kingdom, which has its uniqueness and description of character, but God also as a human mother. Of all the prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah seems to be the fondest of painting God as an actual human mother. And we see a few verses. Let me share those with you. Isaiah 42, verse 14. Is the first. It says, I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. A few chapters over, Isaiah 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And one more in Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. So here, this last verse is particularly touching. Isaiah is writing the common understanding that mothers, of course, would never forget their children. You know, children are so valuable and important to their mothers. But what he's saying here is that they would forget far before God would. That's the implication here. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have not compassion on the son of her womb. Surely they may forget. Even if they would forget, God is saying, I would not forget you. God would never forget. God's people are precious to him. This passage also vividly shows us God's willingness to forgive and to embrace. By the way, of those God made in his image, male and female, both were made in God's image, remember. But which of those are the ones that are chosen to give birth to new life? And of course, God gave that role to females. And I, for one, as a male, am thankful. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, moms, for taking that responsibility and not me. So I'm thankful for that. But know that God is in the business of life. Not only did he give life, he is a life giver from the very first creation with Adam. And he breathed life into his nostrils. But he's also in the business of giving birth to new life all the time. We refer to this as being born again. And it's a spiritual thing that God does in us through faith in Jesus Christ. We see the passage in Romans 8, 29. And by the way, this passage is right after, of course, verse 28 that we've recently seen and dealt with, that all things work together for good to them who love Christ, those who are called according to his purpose. We see in verse 29, though, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And this passage, while it's a wonderful verse on many things, referring to the sovereignty of God, the calling of God, the foreknowledge and the predestination of who would trust in Jesus Christ, who were to be his children. But I want us to put our focus today for context on the second part, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, first of all, who is the he for whom he foreknew? Where the he here is the Father. The he in the last part of the verse, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Who's the he there? That's the Son. That's the firstborn Son. So whom he foreknew, God the Father. He, God the Father, also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of the Father. But that many brethren, we see in verse 29 here, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Who is that? The many brethren is us. Christ was the firstborn. But God the Father's desire, his plan, was that there might be many sons and daughters. Jesus Christ, the firstborn. But the many brethren is those of us who have also put our faith in Christ, that he was our atonement. He was our propitiation. We've dealt with that word. He was our propitiation, that atoning sacrifice for our sins as well. So yes, God the Father is in the business of giving birth all the time. And what a wonderful image of God. What a wonderful picture of what it is that God does. So in Scripture, over and over and over again, we do see these metaphors describing God, describing his character and his dealings with his people. We've seen a few this morning. God as the mother bird, God as the mother bear, And we also see God described here in human mother terms as well. God is in the business of giving life and looking after his people. But I want to close with one more point, and this is important. Third point is God is never called mother. God is never called mother. It's true that despite these maternal images, the Bible never uses the feminine gender for God. God is never referred to as our mother who is in heaven. And we have to remember this. Ancient people often referred to God as mother or as Mother Earth. And this was part of their false worship. But this reference was never in reference to the God of Israel, to the one true God of Israel, our Creator God. It was never in reference to that. We cannot think they're synonymous, just their way of seeing God. And even today, it's not uncommon for people to refer to events, things that happen in our world, and they just talk about Mother Nature, don't they? That's not uncommon. But to ascribe events and the wonder of creation to just Mother Nature is kind of a form of worship, but it's not right and that's not biblical. When we look at the wonders and the power of nature and just say, wow, isn't Mother Nature just wonderful? That's what we're doing. And we must be careful. What does the Bible say about this? Romans chapter 1, verse 25, talking of those in times past who rejected the Creator God, says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. There's a lot in this chapter of Romans. But this describes a people who did not acknowledge God as the creator. They worshiped and were in awe at creation and its wonders, but they didn't ascribe true worship and value to the creator of it all. Christians, as we see God's amazing creation, it should make us say, wow. What an amazing God we have. Not, isn't Mother Nature interesting how all this happened? There's a big difference there. Yes, we acknowledge even as Christians, this world is not perfect. Romans 1 also deals with that because of sin. And creation groans. And we groan in this fallen world. And calamities happen. And natural things happen, and earthquakes happen, sickness, diseases, and stupid viruses. These kinds of things are a part of the world, the fallen world that we live in. But still, we ascribe all things to our Heavenly Father, our Creator God, and we don't refer to Him as Mother Nature. God is not sexist, nor can we simply just limit him to being male, female. He created male and female. We understand that. Yet, we must also respect and acknowledge that he has always chosen to reveal himself in the masculine. And we must not take liberty that God has not granted us to do. We must acknowledge him for who he has revealed himself to us to be. We need to be careful of some of this. In his book, this book called Evangelical Feminism, writer, theologian, scholar Wayne Grudem, and I just want to be careful to say I don't agree with everything Grudem writes. And it's hard to find a writer that I guess I would agree with every single thing they write. But this book on evangelical feminism is a good counterpoint to a lot of things that are happening in the church in our current culture that we need to be aware of. Without going into the entire thing, toward the end, he has a chapter in here about some beginning trends of people, writers, pastors, and even in churches, being encouraged to worship God in referencing him as mother, our mother in heaven, as well as father at times, but just being free to balance it back and forth. We need to be careful of such things that we don't have and have not been given the liberty to do. Therefore, we will follow Jesus' lead in praying to our Father who is in heaven. We cannot change that. We will not change that. Yet we recognize the giver of all life, God, and his amazing attributes, including the ones that the Bible speaks of with images of motherhood. This is part of the amazing attributes of God. And so God demonstrates in his character the very best of masculine and the very best of feminine attributes, because both are made in the image of God. Amen. Mother's Day is as appropriate as any occasion to see and to capture these biblical maternal images for God to help us to see further truths about him and who he is. People had described God in these scriptures in feminine terms, not because God is actually a woman, but because feminine or maternal traits say something about God and about the experience that they had with God and his dealings with them. And the same must be said of the masculine and paternal images of God as well. But we are careful not to confuse these metaphors with the reality of God and who he is. But isn't God amazing? Isn't he amazing? Let us give glory to God on this Mother's Day for these attributes, these descriptions that we see of our Heavenly Father, our Creator God. I'd like to invite you now to bow your head in a word of prayer. And listen, as I had said, God is in the business of giving new life. Giving life. He's a life giver. But we all must come to God on his terms, his way. God is the one that provided the plan, and that was Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. But as Romans 8:29 reminds us, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so because of what the firstborn had done, what he came to do for us, we too can be born, be given new life, and placed into the family of God together. And I know many of you have done that, and I praise the Lord for you. But maybe there's someone here listening that in their heart, in their own heart right now, they realize, they know that they've never truly come to Christ in faith and said, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me of my sins? Will you cleanse me of my sins? Today, I encourage you to do that. This Mother's Day, these unique days, this unique situation in 2020, let this be the day of a new birth, new life. Would you receive him today? If you want to receive the Lord, I encourage you to pray in your heart, Lord, I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is my atoning sacrifice, my Savior. He died for my sins, and that I have sinned against you, a holy and righteous God, that I only deserve your wrath, your judgment. But because you loved me, you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. So today, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to wash me of all my sins. And from this day forward, you are my Lord, my God, my Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you also for loving me as a mother bird loves and protects and defends and teaches and trains her young, as a mother bear, Lord, and the righteous wrath that she can show to those who endanger her own. Lord, also for the human aspect of motherhood that we have seen in scriptures, and that you will not forget your own, and that you are willing and ready to forgive and give new birth and new life to all who would come to you in faith. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And Lord, I want to say a special thanks, and I ask a special blessing on all of our moms gathered here together with IBC today. Lord, you've given them a special calling, a special mission. I pray, Lord, that you would enable them, empower them beyond their own abilities, that they too, Lord, would be an example of biblical motherhood, of biblical femininity, biblical maternity, that they, Lord, would love their children, their grandchildren, the way you would have them, that they would care for them, teach them, and also stand on righteousness and holiness. Thank you, Lord, for all these ladies. Pray your special blessing on them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to turn it over now to Pastor Mike for a few announcements before we are dismissed.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. Happy Mother's Day again to all of you. And then, of course, as we learn more about our Lord, that draws us closer to Him. So again, thank you for the message and for honoring our mothers this morning. Just a few quick announcements we'd like to share with you before we're dismissed. First of all, continue to pray this week, especially for our country's leaders. They're going to be making some difficult decisions this week. But just keep in mind that no matter what the decisions are, our contentment is in the Lord. So whatever their decisions are, doesn't change anything in our own hearts. We are contented in the Lord, and we must carry on serving the Lord faithfully. But pray for our leaders this week as they make those decisions. Also coming up with worship services, I know with the decisions that will be made this week about perhaps moving from level 3 to level 2 and things of that sort, what we've decided right now is that next Sunday we're going to continue on with our Zoom session for our worship service. And the reason for that is that it will give us enough time to then properly make arrangements for when we are able to meet back together in groups. And since we don't know at this point what it's going to be like, we're going to go ahead and say next Sunday morning, Zoom sessions and Facebook as we have been doing. And then we can react, or at least we can respond to whatever the next level is and make sure everything's safe and accommodating for everyone when we can gather back together. Also, for announcements, Kids Club story time will be coming up right after the worship service this morning. And so that'll be about 10 minutes after we close out this meeting time. Kids Club will be on. Miss Jennifer will be bringing story time during the Kids Club. Other announcements. Just continue to pray for the time that we meet together on Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock. We invite you to join with us Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, for our prayer meeting. Also, our life group leaders. Life group leaders, if you can make sure that you contact each in your life group this week so that you can stay connected with them, make sure that you're praying together, having time where you can spend and connect. Also, our teen group. Josh will be leading teen group again Friday night, 7 o'clock. So Friday night teen group, make sure that you're on and able to come along to the Zoom meeting for the teen group. So I think that's all of the announcements, other than to just remember praying for our missionaries, pray for each of them this week, and especially for Erwin and Amy Santoso. Continue to pray for them and how the Lord is leading them at IBC Central. So that's all of the announcements. However, you may be celebrating a birthday or an anniversary this week, and we would like to know about that. So down in the chat section, as we commonly do, if you're celebrating a birthday or someone close to you is celebrating a birthday, go ahead and put that in to our chat section so that we can all see that. The same with anniversaries, and then through that we can be praying for you. I've seen a few already coming up, and a few have scrolled through. See Benita's birthday this week as well. Happy birthday to you, Benita. Anyone else with a birthday? Maybe someone else has put one on that I've missed. see, from Jesse to every, oh, Matt and Chandra's, is that anniversary and birthday, I think, isn't it? Yeah. So we have a lot of things happening this week. Pastor Ken, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to you, and then we can have a closing time of prayer. And as others send in their birthdays and announcements, we can acknowledge them as well. Pastor Ken?
Amen. I'm also reading all the chat. So happy birthday, Bonita and Joseph Arce. Happy birthday. Samantha, happy birthday. And of course, Matt and Shans, happy anniversary. So thank you. Thank you, ladies, for being here. And again, a really special thanks to those who did that video earlier. That was really beautiful and very heartwarming. Mothers, have a great day. Happy Mother's Day to you. Make sure that your family takes good care of you. Some takeaways are open, so don't let them make you cook all day for your Mother's Day dinner. Anyway, let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Remember to be faithful to the Lord. I'd encourage you, please take care of your offerings today or this week as we go. And in just about 10 minutes, the kids' story time will start. So let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, my Father, for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and for showing yourself in so many special ways throughout history. Thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And Lord, for all your attributes, though, even those that we as men may not have, the attributes that we've taken a look at today, including giving life. Lord, thank you for the life that we do have in Christ. And if there's anybody here who has trusted Christ today, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them and continue to work and grow them, that, Lord, they would share this new life with us as their church, and that we can help them in this growth process. Bless our moms today, I pray. Look after them in a special way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great day. I'll leave the room open so you guys can chat among each other if you would like.